cameras, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Lori.
That is correct. And today we are traveling back to Germany in 1943.
Yeah.
What was happening in Germany in 1943?
It was a world war.
Which one?
Which
one?
World War One.
World War One happened in the, 1914. 30 years before. My goodness. Anyway. Germany was at war. Cities were crumbling. Millions were dying. And the Nazi police were desperate to keep order. Or at least the appearance of order. So, when a simple-minded horse handler named Bruno Liddick was arrested in Brandenburg, police saw an opportunity. They declared him the most prolific serial killer in German history, claiming he murdered over 80 women between 1928 and 1943. But was Bruno a brutal murderer? Or was he just a convenient scapegoat for a corrupt regime in need of someone to blame? Yeah. This is the question we are going to answer today. And it's quite an interesting story. When you think of Nazi Germany, you think of war, right? But the country still had to run. It was still civilization. It was still a country. There were police. There were still crimes being committed in the midst of war. Just because the country was at war doesn't mean all the criminals are like, okay, we're not going to steal or murder anymore. I mean, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
So obviously there was the police, but it turns out there's some interesting situations. So Bruno Liddick was born in 1908 in the small town of Köpenick near Berlin. From a young age, it was clear something was different. He suffered brain damage at birth, leaving him with severe learning disabilities. Neighbors described him as kind but childlike, someone who followed orders and smiled at everyone. So he seemed like a pretty nice kid. He never learned to read or write and spent most of his adult life working odd jobs, such as collecting garbage, cleaning stables, and doing small chores for townsfolk. He also had several run-ins with the police, mostly of petty theft or being at the wrong place at the wrong time. So nothing major, okay? No assault or attempted murder. Your pretty low crimes.
Yeah.
Okay? So, now... in Nazi Germany, however, this was already enough to make people suspicious of you. Because I feel like in Nazi Germany, everybody was suspicious of everybody. Because, are they hiding Jews? Are they a conspirator against the Nazi regime? It must have been an awful time to live there. Between 1928 and 1943, Germany was plagued by a series of brutal murders. Women strangled, stabbed or sexually assaulted in small towns near Berlin and Brandenburg. The Nazi police, already stretched thin by the war, struggled to solve them. There was no consistent pattern and no clear suspect. But on March 1943, a young woman named Gertrude Alberts was found murdered near Ludwig's hometown.
Yeah.
And for police desperate for answers, Bruno seemed to fit their narrative perfectly. A man with limited intellect, no alibi, and an odd demeanor. They arrested him on suspicion of murder, and that's where everything changed.
Yeah.
Ludwig was questioned for days by the criminal commissioner William Gennett's team, part of the Kripo, which was the criminal police under the SS. And I mean, the SS were already criminals in themselves. So to have them running your police, I don't know how effective this is going to be.
Yeah.
Eventually, he confessed not just to one murder, but to dozens. The police claimed he remembered details only the killer could know. For example, how the victims were found, what they wore, how they died. But there was a problem. Every recollection was prompted by the police. So, for example, they'll be like, oh, Glory, don't you remember the body being over there? And then you're like, yeah, I do remember the body being over there. Like, prompting him. Basically, you know when a teacher spoon feeds you the answers for the test? That's literally what happened, okay? They took him to the crime scenes and fed him information and recorded him repeating it back. In photos from these visits, Bruno looks lost. He's smiling, confused, sometimes even laughing as officers proudly pose beside him at the murder sites. It's also a bit weird to take the criminal back to the scene of the crime. Yeah. I'm just saying. To them, it was a triumph of Nazi efficiency. To modern investigators, it's a chilling image of manipulation and abuse. And unfortunately, this happens everywhere. It still happens today. It's not a new thing. Police, when under pressure or are not getting anywhere or are just downright corrupt, will manipulate people into confessing
crimes.
And this is a question for you, Glory, and I think it kind of makes sense. In South Africa, there's a law that says a confession is not enough for them to be seen as guilty. There has to be evidence that matches the confession. And do you think this is because of cases like these or more because people take the blame for other people, in like they'll get paid to say they did it?
In all honesty, I sometimes try to wrap my head around these things and none of it makes sense. And of course, as best as possible, we're trying to find middle ground to not convict innocent people and get the correct suspect, or rather the offender.
Yeah.
So it is a tricky one, given the nature of such crimes where it's literally touch and go and all you have is a confession. But if someone confesses to a crime, I do think they should be charged. Could they be taking the fall for someone? Yes, possibly. And you're trying to avoid that. But that's like, I think that's giving ourselves the impossible task of trying to...
No, but I kind of, like, I could be wrong, but I stand to be corrected. As far as I understand the American legal system, if you confess, you go to prison without a trial because you've confessed.
You've confessed,
right? And I mean, it's not everybody who's going to confess to a crime of somebody else, but I'm saying specifically here in the nation that we have, with the crime we have, maybe your family's being threatened, maybe you getting a big payout, but then what does that help if you didn't do anything and the criminals still walk free?
Yeah.
So I kind of agree that evidence is needed to substantiate. Like, for example, there should be evidence that you were in the area at least. I mean, if you were in a completely different part of the city or the country, how are you committing the crime?
Yeah.
And so I do, like Laurie, think, I think it's a slippery slope, because where do we draw the line? Where do we stop? But I do think there needs to be something to be like, okay, we back up what this guy is saying. Maybe there was some DNA, maybe his hoodie was at the crime scene, whatever it may be. And so, because in this case, he was literally manipulated into giving this confession, okay? And he supposedly confessed to 84 murders. Even...
Damn.
You see, for me, that in itself is like weird, because often when serial killers confess to crimes, they confess to the ones they've been caught for, and then they often say they've killed like 200, 300 people. They say that. But like, there's no actual proof, and we never know if that person was being serious. But to specifically confess to the 84 crimes, the exact 84 crimes they were looking for a killer, that for me is a little bit shaky. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
So, authorities declared the case closed, and newspapers quickly praised the Kripo for catching, and I quote, Germany's greatest criminal. What about the person who was leading Germany at that point? But anyway, that's a topic for another day. But not everyone believed it. Hence the show of today.
Yeah.
A few brave doctors and psychologists began to question the case, especially Dr. Robert Ritter, who assessed Bruno's mental capacity.
Mm.
He concluded Bruno was mentally disabled, incapable of understanding the concept or guilt of guilt or a confession. So he wasn't able to actually understand what a confession meant.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't understand what the consequences, if you said, I killed this person, he couldn't understand what that meant. He just said, thought he was saying a sentence. It's,
yeah.
He doesn't realize he's now implicated himself to be at fault for actually murdering someone. Okay. And in simple terms, he just didn't know what he was agreeing to, which unfortunately, it's pretty sad when you think about it.
Yeah.
Even worse, there was no physical evidence, like I said, like we were speaking earlier, linking him to these murders. No fingerprints, no eyewitnesses, and no stolen items. Generally, a serial killer of this nature will take something as a memorial to, like, commemorate that they did this. It could be a body part, it could be a piece of jewelry. So the fact that there's nothing, not a single thing, not, you're telling me on 84 bodies, there's not one stitch of evidence. No, that for me is wild. Okay. There was literally just his words, and they were words that were forced from him through fear and suggestion. Yet in Nazi Germany, questioning the police was basically your own prison sentence. Okay. You didn't do that. Yeah. Just it's like in North Korea right now, you don't question the government. It's a one-way ticket to either your execution or in a lifetime imprisonment.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the reports of his mental instability were buried and his fate was sealed.
Yeah.
In 1944, Bruno was quietly sent to a medical facility called the Criminal Biological Institute of the Security Police. It's a very long name. Okay. And it was run by Dr. Robert Ritter himself. There he was subjected to experiments because the Nazi doctors were absolutely mad scientists and loved experimenting on anybody they could get their hands on. And they called it studying criminal biology.
Wow.
Is a criminal not a human being? Do we not have the same liver and ribs?
Yeah, not according to this.
Okay, I mean, I know there's psychological differences, but like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, they were doing, at concentration camps, they were doing experiments on twins because Hitler believed twins had like telepathy.
Yeah.
Power. Guys, I don't know how people followed this man. Just saying. Okay. Anyway.
Probably hypnotizing.
Well, most of the soldiers were on drugs.
Yeah.
But that's, again, a story for another day. Bruno was sterilized and used as a medical subject. He died in 1944, so later that year, reportedly, and it was officially listed as pneumonia.
Yeah.
Side eye, because there are later reports and rumors that it was actually a fatal injection. And so it was literally an unofficial execution where he didn't even get a trial. He was literally sentenced to death by being forced to commit to crimes he never did.
Yeah.
Okay. He was only 36.
What?
I know, crazy. After the war, Nazi files on Bruno were rediscovered by Allied investigators. At first, they believed them. Obviously, they doctored them.
Yeah.
Okay. The numbers were staggering. But as forensic science advanced, experts realized the case didn't add up. Many of the murders attributed to Bruno happened miles apart, sometimes days apart, and he didn't have the means to travel those distances. Right? In 1957, a German journalist named Will Berthold published an expose calling Bruno's case, and I quote, one of the greatest miscarriages of justice in German history.
Yeah.
It sparked national outrage. Historians now agree Bruno was almost certainly innocent, a mentally disabled man framed by the Nazi police to hide their own failures. They couldn't You see, what also made this very interesting to me, right? Mm. They had these 84 victims, but they couldn't connect them. So how on earth did they know it was actually one person committing these crimes? There could have been 84 murders yeah. with 84 killers, and all 84 went go because you pinned it on one man. Person. That is like the biggest failure of policing I have ever yeah. heard of, honestly. Okay?
That one is definitely up there.
No, it literally was to hide their own failures. They couldn't catch all these killers. And like I said, you know, in war, I truly believe crime goes up because what? The country's desperate. People don't have food. People are on rations. You're at war. There's anger. There's hatred fueling people. Crime is going to go up. So I'm not surprised that in this time there were 84 murders.
Yeah.
Okay? Doesn't mean they were all committed. If there was a specific thing, like all of them had their left pinky toe cut off, I'd say maybe they were committed by the same person.
Yeah.
But besides that, I mean, the fact only real connection was that they were all women.
Yeah.
And honestly, how many women he had killed every year? And it's not some serial killer. I mean, yeah. how many women are being killed this year in South Africa and it's not a serial killer? It's just people.
Yeah, people like, you know, boyfriends... You know, lost lovers.
Yeah.
Just randomly killing each other.
Men who rape and then kill. It just goes on and on and on. Today, Bruno's story serves as a dark warning. He is one of the first victims of a system that blurred the line between law and cruelty. Okay? Yeah. Where truth was whatever the authorities said this was. And we did have this, especially in the times of apartheid. I mean, there was one time... I think it was an Indian man. He fell out of a police building and he was obviously pushed. I don't remember the exact words. I just remember it because I was so shocked to the core. It was like something, they said something about, oh, he was learning to fly. What human flies? What is that? Like, I mean, we've seen it even, like I said, Steve Biko was killed.
Yeah.
In police interrogation. It's just, unfortunately, the people who are supposed to be keeping the community safe, not really doing their jobs,
yeah.
okay? And the Nazis didn't need justice in this case. I mean, actually, I really think they were more controlled about destroying the world.
Yeah.
Then they needed control. And Bruno was the perfect target. He was voiceless, he was powerless, and he was easy to shape into a monster.
Mm.
It's haunting to think... about how many others like him may have vanished. They're unnamed, they're unheard during those years. And I do believe that. How many people did the Nazi government arrest? We'll never know. We'll never know. They were like I said, this guy died of, and I'm doing my air quotes for everyone who can't see me, pneumonia.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. And so what's also really the big question was, if this guy is innocent, where are the other killers? They just walked free.
Walked free.
But don't even know if they're probably not alive today anyway. I mean, they would have been in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s in 1948. They're definitely not alive unless they're like 120.
Yeah.
But it's quite scary. That means potentially 84 killers walked free.
Mm.
That's wild in my brain to think about. Because one man was used as a scapegoat. Because it was easier than doing your job.
And how many people, as you said, are just getting away with this?
Exactly. Well, I mean, I truly think we will never... I think there's certain... For example, the Soviets.
Mm.
For example, North Korea. For example, China. For example, Nazi Germany. I don't think we will ever get an understanding of what went on.
Yeah.
I was speaking with my brother once. We were saying... How much in Russia do we not know? Russia's a very big country.
Mm.
Very big country. How much do we not know? I remember I went to Germany in 2017, and we visited this museum, and it was a museum that they built. So you know the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
So the Berlin Wall, when it was torn down, they found, as they were tearing the wall down, this was years later, like 20 years later, they found a underground file room of Nazi what? Documents. But that's only found 20 years later. How much have we not found? Nazis stole so much art. So much of it's not found. I don't think we will ever be able to comprehend what went on in that regime.
Yeah.
It's same with, like I was saying, Russia, North Korea. I don't think, no matter how much we as humans study it, I don't think we will ever know.
Yeah, because there's just some things that they hid very well. Obviously,
or destroyed.
Destroyed, or yeah. And, you know, obviously with that, you know, being said, the fact that you're saying they're finding the files only 20 years later. Mm. Yeah, it's only...
Russia's currently ruled by Putin. Putin's not letting other interested investigative people go into Russia and look for things. Are you crazy? How much of Russia do we still... How much of what happened in the Soviet Union do we not know what happened?
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I mean, you know, and I'll end with this. When World War II was happening, people didn't know about the death camps. The Nazis kept it a secret because obviously they were far out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody knew about them, right? Literally, when the Allied powers started advancing and like getting like recontrol of countries and stuff, and they found these death camps, they were horrified. They're like, they didn't even know this mass extermination was going on.
Yeah.
They found all these people dead, alive. They found all of these documents. They found where they had been torturing people. They had no idea. No idea. It's crazy when you actually think about it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I thought this was very interesting because I really thought it showed, you know, the Nazi regime was really corrupted and it was really evil. And this just shows it. The fact that the police would do something like this.
Yeah.
I think it just is a testament to what type of Germany Hitler was running at the time.
Yeah.
Although I won't lie, I had to report to a government run by Hitler and I couldn't find 84 killers, I'd also be a little bit worried that I was going to be next. If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh my goodness, my life's on the line if I don't catch somebody. I mean, that must have also been a bit of a terrifying thought. So anyway, that is the story of Germany's greatest supposed serial killer. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
No,
nothing. Well, we hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Haven't you heard? It's the Netflix of radio.
Radio.
Become part of the Active FM family today. Go check out more of the shows and chat with us on our social media platforms. It's more than just a radio station with amazing content.
We are Active FM.
Share your thoughts with us, send in your questions, or simply tell us what you love most about Active FM on our WhatsApp line. Radio has never been better.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.